Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Hey guys.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Exciting morning. We have another fire here in California, so we're dealing with that. Jason almost didn't make it today because he's right in the middle of it, or your office is right in the middle of it.
We are currently in a voluntary evacuation zone. I feel bad. There's a lot of people that have already been mandatory evac'd again. Good news is they've had practice. They did it about 3.5 weeks ago. So you feel terrible for these guys. Another 2020 day.
Yeah. It's just like, won't stop.
It's a dumpster fire all along, man. Like everywhere. It's just unreal.
Yeah. Jason, we have a guest with us today. He is the president and principal landscape architect at CTO Landscape. Please help me welcome Pablo Cortez. Pablo, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, thank you for having me.
So first, let's just start first with CTO. CTO, I keep saying that wrong. CTO Landscape. What are you doing there, and how's the practice going? Tell us a little bit about your practice.
Yeah, the practice is surprisingly doing well for being 2020. I don't know if you experienced any kind of uptick in work coming through, but we certainly did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been so I started the company in May of 2019. Wow. I didn't go full time till August, and yeah, it's been crazy. Just the amount of work coming through, and the varied types of work. Right, we're getting everything from single family residential renovations to smaller developments, multifamily stuff. You know, we got a couple of proposals that I'm actually going to put together today for a couple of hotels.
Wow.
And we have some parks projects, some streetscape projects, some public work stuff. It's been going good. Slowly kind of trying to get more and more of that type of work. That's kind of been my goal, is to get as much of the varied types of work coming through, not only to keep myself busy, but, you know, I got three other people that help out with as far as coming in as independent contractors that help out with the drafting side of things. So kind of keeping them busy a little bit. But yeah, I mean, we're a landscape architecture firm, and try to apply those principles across the board on all those kinds of projects.
Do you have a preference on project type that you kind of lean towards?
Yeah, I like the multifamily stuff. Some of the, just because, you know, it's all, most of them are more infill projects, and they're taking up these spaces that, you know, they're renovating these spaces and providing housing. But really, it's, you know, I feel like landscape just covers all that entire range, right? So we can kind of apply to all those types of projects. So as far as preference for the types of projects, the multifamily stuff is definitely something that I look more forward to. But yeah, it's really everything landscape, I guess, is what we look at.
Yeah,
that's interesting, because there's a lot of, like, I know for us, it sometimes the mentality doesn't work really well between residential, multifamily, and commercial. So from a trade standpoint, in either cabinetry or like the finish, you know, I guess cabinetry is a finished trade, but also like the flooring and stuff, it's totally different mentalities. Sure. Like completely different mentalities
and approach. So that's,
yeah, oh, and approach, and, you know, size and scope, and just, you know, material wise, all those kind of things. So it's that's interesting that you guys are in a position where you have the dexterity, where maybe it's kind of the same language from one to the other.
Yeah. And it's, I've been lucky enough to work in the past with a couple of different offices and firms, and, you know, I've experienced all those different types of projects working with those offices. Even down, I even had I did 8 months with Forest Lawn Memorial Parks.
The mortuary? Yeah.
So I've had
my grandparents were buried there in LA.
that's what I was at, yeah. Not in LA. But you know, I've had that experience in the past, where working on these different projects, and the principles are the same, right? You're looking at creating these outdoor spaces and implementing all these just these landscape architecture principles across the board. And that's kind of just how I took it upon myself to, when I did start the firm, to just try to keep it as varied as possible, because A, it keeps it interesting, right? A different type of the projects coming in, you're not stuck with one type. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, as far as for a company, it just makes sense to be able to access all the different types of projects in case there is a downturn. You know, I went through the 2008 downturn, and you know, the companies that were focusing on multifamily development, you know, didn't do so well coming out of that. So yeah, that's kind of just been my goal. And again, you know, I've been doing this for what, 18 months now, and it's I got a long ways to go, but that's the plan, is to bring in the different types of works.
Well, shoot, man. I mean, first off, congratulations, because most new businesses don't make it to that point to begin with. You. The first year is the hardest by far. So you probably have figured out a few things and have a heck of a better chance than the rest did. So good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Pablo, talking about principles, it recently came up where, when I was in school, someone came by and asked me to do a landscape design, and you know, first year brain, I thought I could take on the world, and got into the middle of it and had no clue what I was doing.
Can I replace first year brain with ego? Can we do that instead?
Okay, I'll edit that. So I wanted to ask you sort of what kind of expand on what are those principles. If you have a project, what are you looking at as a designer that I obviously did not know when approaching landscape design?
I'm assuming it was a residential project.
Yeah, this was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny that you said that, because I remember that episode, listening to it, and I get plans like that from time to time. It's you know, we put these plans through the city or the county, and we need you to, you know, get them through and get them approved.
make it work.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the process, it really is, you know, listening to the client, right? What their needs are, what they require, and what they want to see done. A lot of times, especially in development and construction projects, single family construction, it's mainly about getting the project entitled or approved through building safety or planning, whatever department is looking at the project, right? So it's not a lot of focus on the design elements. It's more about meeting those numbers as far as calculations for water requirements, permeable paving, stuff like that. So that all kind of comes together pretty quickly as far as design goes. But really, when I first approach any project, it really is just that. It's finding out what the client's programming, so to speak, right? What they're going to require. And then just working off of that, you know, we take into consideration things like access and safety. Those are big things right now that we need to look at to make sure everybody's able to walk through a garden or and be safe about it.
So you're trying to balance kind of what the client has in their mind with city regulations of meeting a certain number of landscape square footage, and I think there's restrictions on covered patios and things like that you have to balance, and all of those sorts of things. Is that kind of what you're
right about? Right. So it's also state guidelines, right, which the counties kind of take off from there. The one of the biggest things that we have to deal with is the minimizing turf for homes.
That's right.
Because it uses a lot of water. So they're restricted to the size, the amount of turf you can use per the landscape square footage, right? So we have to work around that. And then also the types of plants that you're choosing, right? They have to be low to medium water usage, California natives, stuff that does well in the region, whatever region you're working in. So that all adds up into your calculation. Same thing with you know, how do you treat the water on site, right? Any runoff, where that's going, what you're doing with it, all that stuff helps. Permeable paving, things like that, rather than just a concrete pad. So you're right. It's taking all those elements, putting it together, and then making sure that you're within those guidelines, so you're able to you know, A, get the project approved, and hopefully, you know, make your client happy with what you've come up with as far as design.
Yeah.
When you're talking about getting approvals, is that primarily on the new construction resident, like new resident, not if somebody that hires you, like Demetrius tried to do that one where they go in and they, you know, tear out a bunch of stuff and redo it. Does that still apply there if you're pulling a permit?
Yes and no. Most renovations, more landscape renovations are, don't require that, unless it's what I've been seeing a lot lately is HOA. Requirements. So those, especially the I don't want newer communities, but some of these communities have a packet thick of just landscape requirements, right, that you need to provide. And a lot of times, and I don't blame you, the architect isn't looking at that stuff, right? They're more concerned with the building. They're not looking at what the landscape requires. They know that they got to get the building in and or whatever that is, the renovation. And then, you know, once they hit that wall where the landscape comes in, it's like, okay, well, now we need somebody to come in and make sure we can meet all these different requirements.
For us in this region, what is it called? Xeriscaping is a big thing. That's like it's the term for natural kind of more desert-like landscaping.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So more succulents and things like that. Less
of what anybody wants.
right, yeah, and that's, you know, that's so the whole thing with xeriscaping is that they're trying to make it, the people that are trying to implement that are just looking at ways to reduce water usage, right, which is a big thing in California,
which is fair.
Especially something, yeah, exactly, yeah. And but the thing is, you know, it's basically a desert landscape once you get down to it, and there are different communities throughout California that you can take plant material that is not that. It's suited for that climate, first of all, because it's adapted or it's native to the region. And you can take that plant material and create a low water use landscape without having it look like a desert.
Because I would think that's the problem, right? When you look at a lot of desert type communities and stuff, the architecture, at least that we have here where we're all around, is not really desert style, if that makes sense, right? So you got a lot of modern looking things. You got a lot, I mean, the old pink stucco idea, that's not desert, you know what I mean? Like those right. types of things. So when you look at it from that perspective, the two don't really match, right?
Yeah.
So that may come into probably, you know, certainly needing somebody's expertise like yours and all the plans that would go to make it, that would do what you're talking about, right? Kind of give you the feel you want, but are still hitting the
research that you need. Exactly, right. And that's one of the things we look at is when we do get a project from an architect is, you know, we do, obviously they hand over the floor plans, but then at the same time we want to look at the elevations, right? What does the elevation look like? Are you looking at a Spanish elevation? Is it a traditional? Whatever that may be, that way we can sort of at least attempt or work with the owner to create a palette that works with that architecture and also meeting those requirements. Yeah.
So basically you're on the same page I am when I tell Demetrius that architects just mess everything up or just design something pretty and then we have to go in and fix it. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Here we go. Here we go again. Pablo, that's an interesting point. I was curious when you guys are coordinating with like a architectural design, if you're looking more in plan or are you looking at style? Because I never really thought about it that way, that you would sort of match landscape to the style of the home.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know you don't think about that. Yeah. You walked right into that one.
Yeah. Whenever possible, we do want to, that's the way we would like to work, right? On the practical side of things, if you're showing me a plan view and your first floor, mm-hmm. right, which is typically what we get, you're not showing me in that plan, you're not showing me your second level windows, right, where those are located. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put a tree that's going to block that window view, or maybe I do want it something that, you know, so it just helps me put the entire building into context as to what can be placed where and for what reason.
Gotcha. Right?
Yeah.
So now that we are in the middle of another fire, are you are you guys taking, or since we've had one recently too,
the landscape ambulance truck?
emergency landscape. In your designs, are you guys taking any more considerations as far as fire protections and sort of designing in sort of fire breaks essentially in maybe some larger properties or anything like that?
Yeah, especially all those hillside properties, they're in fuel modification zones, especially the back. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. So basically it's the area of a foothill that is more susceptible to catching fire and spreading fire, right? So there's, so specifically LA County has a program that kind of deals with that. It says, if you're in a fuel mod area, you're using these types of plants, you have to space them this far out from the building. And they can't be, you know, they have different zones. So one zone is closer to the building. It's very low, nothing high, right? Nothing, no trees within that zone that it can, basically the fire can jump onto the building from a tree, right? So it's everything's spread out. Yeah. And the farther out you go, the denser you can get. But again, it's plant material that is not as, using this term, woody, right? Or that gets dry, that would stay dry. That kind of stuff is not allowed. So there are ways to mitigate that on the, you know, the commercial residential development side of things in those regions. You would apply the same kind of planting and structure sort of layout in a wider setting, right? Like say, for example, a park. Those are already pretty open, right? So you're not too concerned with stuff spreading, but you know, in the outer regions that do maybe butt up against a foothill or anything like that, then you kind of start to apply those, that type of plant material that helps to A, not spread that fire as quickly, right? So it's more maintained, mm-hmm. and not bring it into the more, I guess, populated spaces.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's always been a plan to sort of implement in as far as controlling fires and making sure that you're never going to stop them, but you can mitigate the spread and control where those events take place. And that's kind of where the direction is for landscape as far as, you know, controlling fires.
Yeah, and not making it worse.
Not making it worse. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. We're coming towards the end, but I did want to also mention that you have a podcast as well called Naturally Built.
Yes.
And you guys are in your second season, right?
Yeah. We have a co-host now, Annalisa, who has joined, and it's working out really good. Yeah. it's
we think it wasn't
going well. That's I jumped into this just kind of because I had to, in a way, gotcha. To help promote the business. That was the main starting it. And, you know, it's talking to more and more people within the industry. They seem to like what they were hearing. It's basically, I have guests on there that where we just discussed landscape architecture and the different, you know, within around the industry, right? People that are related to the industry. So we have them on and have a conversation. So for the second season, you know, we have mics, we have a setup, we have a system now that we can just hop on and everything it's running a lot smoother. And that's we're keeping that going. You know, it's things get busy, so it's kind of hard to schedule. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. And
no, ours goes really smooth all the time.
Yeah. There's fires and awesome.
Right. Exactly. But so it's been a lot of fun, and I hope I can keep doing that for a little longer, at least.
Right on. All right, Pablo. So thanks again for sitting down with us and chatting a little bit about landscape design. For those that are listening and want to hear more about landscape, check out Naturally Built. Get your full fill of landscape discussions. And thank you again, Jason, for sitting in the middle of a fire tornado to have this conversation.
Luckily not that bad yet.
I see it behind you outside of your window.
I'm just not listening right now.
Yeah. But go home, get out of the fire. Thank you again to the listeners for listening. Please make sure to share this or any of our episodes with a friend. please go to iTunes, or I guess it's Apple Podcasts now, and leave us a review and a rating. It helps others find the show and helps us continue to keep this thing going. But other than that, we got one more long form episode coming up next week. And I think we have one more Express. So come back for those last couple episodes and we will talk to you then. Thanks. Thank you again to Pablo for joining us today. You can find out more about CTO Landscape Architecture at ctola.com. That's CTIOLA.com. And you can find his podcast, Naturally Built, on his website as well. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at GableMedia.com. That's GABLMedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.